This is Foolish Adventure, episode 27, our interview with Mark Robertson from RealSEO.com. Welcome to another episode of Foolish Adventure. I'm Izzy Hyman, and I'm here with my friend and colleague, Tim Conley. Hello, Tim.
Hey, what's up, Izzy?
Hey, Tim. And today, we have another guest with us. We're doing another interview. These are very popular episodes. People find these to be inspiring and educational, and they love hearing these as sort of like, almost like case studies. And so today, we have joining with us on the show, Mark Robertson from Real SEO. That's R-E-E-L-S-E-O.com. Hey, Mark. How you doing?
Hey guys, great. Thanks for having me. Looking forward to this.
Yeah, I'm excited about this too, because just to give the audience a little bit of background, Mark, I don't know how long it's been. Has it been probably a couple years ago that you and I spoke for the first time? It seems like it wasn't that long ago.
Yeah, I think it might have been actually in 2009, but it feels to me like a couple years ago. Oh. I know I reached out to you because of the great work you're doing with online video, so...
Well, that's where our sort of our interests, you did something that we talk about periodically, and that is networking, like actually in real life networking over the phone and stuff like that. And so you called me up and we had this long conversation and you were talking about your website and we talked about maybe putting some Izzy video episodes on your site and that kind of stuff to add value to your audience. And that's how I came to know of your website. And then since then, it has just absolutely exploded from my observation. And I was just right before we started the recording, I was telling Mark that it seems like all the time if I'm searching about something, like just recently I did a search about how, you know, different methods for using metadata inside video. And I think yours was, I know it was in the top 10 search results and maybe even like number one search result. So it's wild how often your website is popping up in search results that have to do with a video. So I thought it would make sense for us to get you on the show and then we could talk about where you got the idea for your website and how you're monetizing it and, you know, kind of learn from your business example.
Sure. Yeah, sounds great.
All right. One of the things we want to start with is we talk a lot about picking your niche and having a passion. Why did you get into video SEO as opposed to some other form of search engine optimization?
Oh, that's funny. This is interesting for me because let me try not to take too long explaining this, but several years ago I read a book by Aaron Wall called SEO Book, and it was available at SEO.com. It's no longer a book, but I had for a number of years been involved with search engine optimization for large-scale websites. I had, however, never built from scratch my own website. I'd always helped optimize sites that pre-existed. And so I read this book from Aaron Wall, and to your point, he said very clearly in there, you're never going to be successful with search engine optimization in particular unless you find a niche, you're passionate about that niche, and you just continually write relevant, valuable content for users. So for me, that was one initiative I had where I wanted to start a site from scratch and I wanted to find a specific niche. And about 2 months later, I started seeing all these videos showing up in Google search results. And being that my background was in SEO, I started thinking, well, how is this happening? And I did a lot of searches online and hardly anybody, to my surprise, was writing about it. So in all actuality, the site itself was launched more for me as a hobby, something I was passionate about, and really for me to aggregate my learnings into one place. And from there, it kind of took off.
What did you do before the website, out of curiosity? You mentioned being involved with SEO, but what did you do? What's your background before the website?
Yeah, so my background's pretty odd in all honesty. I started as an art major, graduated with biology, did genetic engineering, then I was in a band, and then regardless, about 10 years ago, I started doing internet marketing for a startup here locally in Orange County that was then purchased by a newspaper group. And for a number of years, I worked both for the newspaper and then eventually for the company that owned the newspaper and multiple newspapers across the nation called Freedom Communications. There, I was in charge of internet development, but in particular for the last several years, I was director of search for the organization, both for SEO and for SEM. And so that's really my background, is in internet marketing and in website development and SEO.
Tim, for somebody that's listening the first time here, he referred to SEO, search engine optimization, but he also referred to SEM. SEM, you want to give us a quick idea?
Search engine marketing. And there's a few different takes on that. From my perspective, search engine marketing includes search engine optimization, but also the paid search and what I've called like search branding, where you focus on getting certain branding elements to show up in search engines.
And this is what you did for a living, Mark? You were helping another company through SEO and SEM as helping them, I guess, market their product and content and all that?
I did. And by the way, yeah, I completely agree with Tim. I specifically specified SEM because there are a lot of people that separate the two. But in all honesty, SEO is part of SEM. Okay. Yeah, so for a number of years, I was a full-time employee for this media company, and I was in charge of helping our properties. We had 200-plus websites. Helping them optimize their websites. But also we resold search engine marketing services to local small and medium-sized businesses. And so I was in charge of those programs as well.
Is it really – one thing that I was wondering is it seems like once you get this skill set of being able to do SEO and understand internet marketing, it seems like at that point it's got to be really hard to go to work and actually work for someone because you have this ability now to just like – it's like getting superpowers or something. You know, it's like now I'm going to go into my job, and
Well, it's funny. You know, we can talk about this a little bit more later if you're interested. But I had this conversation with somebody yesterday about SEO, and it's funny because to me, especially because I've been doing it so long, it seems to me that we don't even need the word SEO. It's just best practices for when you publish a website. I mean, don't be lazy. Title your post similar to what the post is about, have a description that has the right keywords. To me, it sort of seems very natural, but yeah, because I've been able to practice this for a number of years, it's easy and I'm seeing some great results from it.
Awesome. And I'm sorry to the audience that our connection is just a little bit rough. So every once in a while we miss a couple words here and there. Mark, am I coming through pretty clear to you?
Just right there, there was a little bit fuzzy.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Actually, well, it sounds fuzzy again. Let's see. I'm making sure that I don't move. Let me plug in my headset.
Freeze. Everybody freeze right where you are. All right. So, okay. You noticed that there was a need, but you saw these videos in search results and you saw that people weren't really writing about SEO as it applies to video. And then you start doing the research, it sounds like, and what was your original plan for the website? Like, what were you thinking? Okay, I'm going to make this. And you said originally it was a hobby, but I'm curious, what were you thinking that it was going to be for you? Like, how would it generate revenue? What was your plan?
Well, from the onset, in all honesty, there was no plan in terms of it growing and becoming a website that I monetize, et cetera. It really was just for me sort of something to tinker with. I wanted to learn the WordPress platform, which is a CMS platform or a content management solution. And I wanted to create a website from scratch, and I wanted to learn more about video because I really knew nothing about it. So at the onset, I really didn't have many plans for it other than I was excited about learning this stuff and started the website.
And then how long ago was that when you started it?
It was 2 years ago at the start of 2008. And, probably not too much further after starting it, maybe 6 months or so is when I started thinking, I might actually have something here. Let me think about how I might turn this into a business. Of course, it took about another 6 months before I actually quit my job and decided to do that. But from the onset, it was really just something I was very interested in learning about myself.
Okay, so now we've covered some of the background, can you tell us, like, what's the difference between video SEO and, traditional search engine optimization? What's like the key factor other than just video?
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing that took me a long time to learn is that, in all honesty, there really isn't too much more. It's what I call an extension of SEO best practices. So with video, really, when we talk about video SEO, most people refer to it in two different ways. There's optimizing videos that you upload to different sites like YouTube, And with those, there are some unique things that need to be considered. But for the most part, it's, again, it's titling your content appropriately, adding text appropriately that's relevant. And then there's website video SEO, or if, you know, for example, if you put a video on your own website, how do you optimize that page such that when you're doing a search in Google, for example, you have the opportunity to have a thumbnail video result that actually goes back to your own website. And in all honesty, again, with that, it's really just an extension of SEO. If you have a website that's well optimized and is structured properly such that search engines can crawl it, it's really just a matter of two or three additional steps to get videos indexed. And really that's, we can dive into this more if you'd like, but it's video sitemaps is one thing. And the other is just making sure that the way you publish video to that page with your Flash player or HTML5 is done so in such a way that the search engine robots can discover that.
Okay. Do you recommend doing a lot of dissemination of your videos, or do you recommend somebody focus on particular distribution platforms like YouTube or Vidler or Vimeo or something like that?
Well, I think everybody, in my opinion, with relatively very few exceptions, there are some legitimate reasons why you may not want to, but I think everybody should be on YouTube. There's an incredibly large captive audience for videos. You can generate video views. It's the number two search engine in the United States. It gets more query volume than Yahoo when you just look at the number of queries. So across the board, I think, aside from your own website, everybody should be doing YouTube. That being said, there is some value to distributing your video content or syndicating your video content to multiple platforms, Dailymotion, Metacafe, Vidler, etc. And you can use tools like TubeMogul, T-U-B as in boy, E-M-O-G-U-L. And, you know, that'll do that for you. But the way I like to advise people is if you've got 2 hours in your day, spend an hour and 45 minutes optimizing for YouTube. And if you've got time left over, go ahead and disseminate to the rest of those sites.
Okay. What would be a good way of optimizing for YouTube?
Well, for YouTube in particular, what's really important, aside from making sure, again, that your title is relevant, contains your keywords, etc., what's really important on YouTube is to remain engaged with the audience. So it's important, you know, that you generate views, that you generate positive reactions to your video if you can, that you are reaching out to others in YouTube that have similar content, very much the same. Start a blog with networking because rankings in YouTube are driven by community engagement and interaction. So they actually look at, you know, how many people have liked this video as opposed to disliked it, how many people have subscribed to this person's channel, how long has this video been here, etc. So there's quite a few things to consider there. But, you know, for the most part, it's don't be lazy when you upload your video. When you upload your video, take the time to really write about what it is. And beyond that, be active on YouTube. Find people that are interested in the same sorts of things. You know, watch their videos, subscribe to them, etc.
That's awesome. Good. Those are really good tips. And I think in particular, because a lot of my audience is interested in video, I think they'll appreciate these tips. And it's funny because YouTube is, I'm sort of rediscovering YouTube. I went through a long period of time where I wasn't really on YouTube. I wasn't uploading videos to YouTube. I had some kind of bad experiences, I guess, with quality and transcoding a few years ago. I've had my account, I think, since 2006, and I just wasn't using it much. And then I just a couple of weeks ago, I decided to go ahead and get my YouTube channel up and going again and start uploading videos. And I actually had a couple of people send me notes and saying, hey, it's great to see you on YouTube.
So. Yeah. You know, a year ago, my answer would have been very different. I probably wouldn't have said that the majority of time needs to be spent on YouTube for those same reasons you brought up. But they've done a tremendous job improving their product with coding and high quality. And there's so many people that unless you've got digital rights management or issues sharing your content, there's really almost no reason you shouldn't be there.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's get back to your website again. So if somebody's visiting your website for the first time, what kinds of things would they expect there? Like what resources do you have on your website?
Well, that brings, let me mention something, which
sure.
is that, you know, our site, because of the way I started it and my interest in beginning the site, is titled REEL SEO. So I think when somebody first comes to my site, their assumption is that all of the content is tied in some way to search engine optimization. And in reality, what we've moved towards is everything and anything you'd be interested with regards to video and marketing. So that includes search engine optimization, advertising, marketing, etc. But we do a number of things. We like to cover the industry in terms of research that's made available. So if there's new research about, you know, the number of people watching videos or how a marketer could leverage video in a unique way, we like to cover that. We do cover some news, although we do our best not to regurgitate press releases. And then we do from time to time tips and tutorials. But for the most part, we try and cover anything that is related to online video that a marketer would be interested in learning about.
That's great. And so like things that aren't on your website would be things like camcorder reviews and things like that, right? That's not an area that you're in?
I'd say for now, yes, although I am thinking of expanding. But yeah, for now, you know, we do, in fact, we talk about mobile video, which doesn't make a lot of sense given the name. But yeah, one of the things that for me that I learned early on when I started this was really in order to optimize video and market video, I better learn video. And that's one of the reasons, of course, I reached out to you, Izzy, because you know so much about production and I was learning it. So yeah, that's something we haven't done as good of a job covering, but it's something we hope to get into.
Now, originally, it was just you, but based on all the different writers that I see on your website now, it sounds like you've built up a team. Can you tell us a little bit about the team and why you decided to do that and who all helps you now?
Sure, absolutely. So, you know, I started realizing because I was writing one or two posts a day, and I started realizing I'm not able to keep up with my emails. I'm not able to keep up with the development of the site that I'm doing. And yet there's these people reaching out to me, loving the content and wanting more and more. So I did a couple things. First thing was I reached out to somebody in the industry that I knew was interested in the same subjects and asked if they'd be interested in collaborating. And certainly they were. And that's Grant Kroll. And he's become a fairly involved writer for the last 2 years for us. Beyond that, I actually got very lucky. I went to Elance and I put a project for a writer to write three stories for me. And I assigned it to three different writers. And one of those writers, Christopher Rick, who's now been with us for a year and a half, he went overboard. He researched what I asked him to. He wrote a great article about it. And so I've been thrilled with him. And then the third person that we have, his name is Jeremy Scott. You know, he was referred to me through a friend in the internet marketing space. So I got really lucky in terms of the columnists that I have. Although I will say one of the secrets, I should say, to the content that I discovered early on is allowing people to do guest posts on our site. We get people that follow us, you know, on a daily basis, and they would love to write for us. And for us, that's free content. You know, we do go through a screening process where we make sure it's content that our readers will like. But for us, it's free content given to us. And for the writer, it's a link to their website. It's a little bit of exposure in terms of positioning them as a thought leader. And the brilliant thing about that is you get free content. It's quality content. It's relevant. And then the guest writer tells all of their friends about it and writes about it on their own blog, et cetera. So, you know, that's one of the things that we've done to expand the content that we have.
That's awesome.
Having these writers there, they've got to have an audience to write to, and like Izzy said, you kind of came out of nowhere. You know, in the SEO world and video world, you just showed up, and now you're showing up everywhere. So, how did you build that audience? Like, you know, how did you work on building your traffic?
Sure. Well, part of it, I mean, a very minor part of it, I would say, is through that guest posting. By having people post, they then share that with their friends, et cetera. But right, how did those people realize that they could guest write for us in the first place? You know, the search engine optimization, in all honesty, I've done a good job on that site. That's very helpful. We do get about 70% of our traffic from search,
nice.
which actually in some cases is kind of scary because if that ever changes, that would be a drastic change. But in addition to that, you know, I've done two things, and I think they've helped a lot. One is that I've been very active in reaching out to and networking with people on the internet doing similar things, like Izzy. You know, when I reached out to Israel, it was one of those things where I really valued what he was doing, and I thought that, you know, there's something I can learn from him, and at the very least, he'll know about my website, and maybe he'll tell a friend down the road. And so one of the things that I realized that surprised me, actually, is just how friendly almost everybody I've reached out to in the internet space has been. And usually, as a result, take a look at what you're doing. And the other thing that I've because I was sort of early on right topic, because I've done a lot of speaking at various conferences, and with that I've also done a lot of media sponsorships for conferences. So people at Blog World Expo, for example, you know, they may see me speak and they may see our logo on the signage throughout the conference. And then the last thing I'll say that's been extremely helpful for us, believe it or not, is getting into Google News. It's not very hard to do, and a lot of times what happens if we write about, for example, if we were to write about izzyvideo.com, my guess is that Israel probably has a Google alert saying, let me know anytime somebody writes about us. And when we hit Google News, that often will hit those Google alerts pretty hard. And so a lot of times we'll write about something that we're interested in, and then the company that we wrote about will reach out to us and then share that post with everyone.
Now, at this point, I think it would make sense to find out a little bit about the different kinds of revenue streams you have coming in. So can you talk a little bit about the different ways that your website makes money?
Sure. I mean, one of the ways that's sort of tangentially related, but it is because of the website, is through consulting. So I do consulting on the side, and of course, this helps a lot with that. But as far as direct monetization of the website, for the most part, it's been through content/advertising. So the more content I produce and the better I get attract an audience, the more page views I get, and the more that I can monetize that with advertising. So at this point, although we have plans to expand quite a bit, you know, the majority of the revenue through our site is through advertising and banner ads and such. I will say, though, that the best thing for us has been to get advertisements from companies related to us in the industry, as opposed to, say, Google AdSense. We do run some Google AdSense, but 99% of the revenue that we've generated is through companies that it makes perfect sense for them to be advertising on our website. And so that's one way. One other way that we've been successful is through training webinars. But again, those are sort of sponsorships. So aside from sponsorships and advertising, at this point, that's how we're making our money. But we do have plans beyond that.
Now, as far as right now, you aren't actually you don't have a product that you're selling to your readers yet.
I don't. We hope to announce something in the next few weeks. But yeah, at this point, and that would be my recommendation, in all honesty, is as you get to a point where you have a good audience, is to try and monetize that through products and services, because that way you're not dependent upon so much the traffic to your website.
One of the questions about the advertising, are you doing a CPM model or CPA or both?
Or affiliate splits.
Yeah, you know, so there's a few different models. I have been doing, for the most part, a flat rate. So, you know, for example, we have 4 125 by 125 square button ads. And those are sold for, you know, X dollars a month. And we do have one or two advertisers where, you know, their budgets were such that they really needed to be able to measure it in terms of leads and cost per acquisition. So, we do have one or two custom sponsorships where we're working directly with the advertiser and charging them on a per-click or per-acquisition basis. I will say that next year, because of the massive increase we've seen in terms of traffic and page views, we are going to hopefully move more towards a CPM model. But I do think that that's a much harder model to start out with.
Are you actually paying your writers?
I am, yes.
Okay. Are they employees or are they freelancers?
They're freelancers.
Okay, that's cool.
Okay, I'm still stuck on advertising.
That's okay. Go ahead.
So, are you using OpenX to manage your ads, or what are you using to manage your ad placement on your site?
Sure. Right now, I'm using a plugin for WordPress called OIO Publisher, and it's something that works quite well. But because we're growing so much, we are going to be swapping that out with an ad serving platform. And the one that I've decided to use is Google's, I forget what they're calling it now, but I think it's DoubleClick for Publishers.
Oh, yeah, after they bought DoubleClick?
Yeah. So, you know, moving forward, I'd like to move to that as a platform, because with that and with an increase in traffic, we can target down to a browser in a certain country. So if there's an advertiser that only wants to target Firefox users in Italy, you know, we'll be able to do that. Whereas right now it's a lot more difficult with the standard WordPress plugins that are available.
Right. Okay. I think I'm done with advertising.
So what's your average day like, Mark? You roll out of bed and then boom. What's your average day? What's your average work day like? What do you spend your time working right now?
Well, I do roll out of bed and then roll back into bed, and then I snooze for 10 minutes and then another 10 minutes.
You're human.
The first thing I do in the morning is, believe it or not, I do this while I'm still snoozing, and it's pretty dangerous, but I take out my iPhone and I go and delete all the messages in my email that I probably don't need to look at, because every morning I wake up with 150 emails. But then really when I get to my office, the very first thing I do is I check to see, you know, who's commented on our website, and because I think it's really important to remain engaged with your readers, and if they're commenting, you know, thank them for their comment or address their question, et cetera. And the next thing I do is I make sure that, you know, if there's any breaking news that's relevant, that I've got a writer assigned to that. So I go across my RSS feeds and just sort of look what's out there for the day. And then the next thing I do is I make sure that we have a post scheduled and ready for the morning. And so I try and have a post up every morning by 8 a.m. Pacific time. And then for the majority of the rest of the day, I'm answering emails, I'm on phone calls, I'm fixing the database, you know, things I probably shouldn't be doing, in all honesty, and then editing posts. So with every post at this point, again, this is something I need to move away from, but at this point, every post that goes on the site, even submitted posts, I go and edit them and make thumbnails for them and optimize them, etc.
A little micromanagement there, huh?
Yeah, I know, exactly.
But that's your product. I think a lot of people and I've been guilty of telling people use a lot of outsourcing and stuff, but I try to make sure it's on things that are not mission critical, and your content is your mission critical item. So micromanaging your product is fairly important.
I think you're right, but I think too, at the same point, for me to be able to focus on, you know, bigger initiatives, you know, for example, creating that product and getting that sold and things like that, I probably do need to give up a little bit of my perfectionism and or maybe create a checklist for writers so they can just do it themselves. But yeah, I am micromanaging probably a little bit more throughout my day than I should be.
One thing you said just a little bit ago was that you go into an office in this world of virtualization. Is this office like, you know, in the basement, the garage, or down you know, a mile away at an office?
Oh, you picked up on that, huh?
Yeah,
I think it sounds funny when I tell people that I walk 5 feet to my office, which is just another room. But yeah, no, in all honesty, at this point, I have an office in another room, and so I wake up and I walk the entire 10 feet to my office.
Well, because I wanted, as part of like workflow, you know, I have an office inside my home. I hate going anywhere, and so so you know, I just want to walk from, you know, have breakfast and then walk over to my desk and sit down and go to work on whatever I want. I don't want to have to drive somewhere and then go to work. But other people find that they get more done by going into an office. So I just wanted to clarify that.
Well, I'd say, you know, although my office is in my house, I think I lean more towards those other people. I think that it's about time I get an office, because there's a little bit more, and I need this for myself. It's, you know, it's based off the different personalities. But for me, I think I need those boundaries, and I need those, you know, I go in and I'm going to spend 6 hours working, and then I'm going to call it quits. I mean, right now, throughout my day, I can do whatever I want. I can take a nap between 2 and 4, and I often do, and I probably shouldn't. So I think it'd be nice to have an outside office, not because I need to go there every single day, but that way, at least if I have one day and I got to get some stuff done and, you know, I've got some phone calls, at least that way I can kind of get away and do it.
If I had an outside office, I'd probably be a level 70 night elf in World of Warcraft or something like that. It's a good thing. It's a good thing that I work out of my house because I don't do any video games.
That's because you got a family and they won't let you, right?
Exactly.
See, that's why I have to leave and get an office, because I don't have a family here telling me, get off Command and Conquer.
But I will say that I kind of do both. Like, I like to work out of the house a lot, but then sometimes I have to get out of the house to just go. If I'm going to be answering emails, for example, I head to Starbucks and I sit down and I plow through emails, you know, cut 2 or 3 hours there while I'm drinking a... I drink tea. I drink chai tea, if anybody's interested in that. But that's what I'm drinking while I'm answering emails usually. And I try to make sure and get there, you know, a few times a week where I could just sit and do work, where I can write my next Izzy video episode. If I need to sit there and just think, I put on headphones in Starbucks, but I don't actually listen to music because I can't write. I just use that to sort of drown out all the noise, and then I get to work. So.
You know, that's a good idea. I haven't even thought about going to Starbucks, but I think I might start doing that, because yeah, there are some times where you kind of just need to escape everything that's familiar to you and just kind of work your butt off. So
I'm running dry on questions here, Tim. Help me out.
Well, I want to bring it back to we talk a lot about getting into a niche and not just like picking a really broad niche, like say doing fitness, right? You know, you would need to go further and further down, like going from fitness industry down to say high intensity training, and then from there maybe going further down to just doing say legs or abs or something. Is what do you recommend for a niche site in using video? Like how would they get the most impact from it?
Well, I mean, I completely agree with you that it needs to be niche. I made a lot of mistakes when I started this site, and one of those was, you know, I thought maybe I should be everything to everybody before I had an audience. And so there were many times where I was just writing stuff that, you know, was interesting to me but wasn't necessarily within that tight niche that I started with. So I totally agree that that's the way, at least at the onset, that you should start and make it something you're passionate about. As far as video sites, you know, the difficult thing with video in terms of on your own website and optimizing your own website, the nice thing is that it's an extension of SEO. The unfortunate thing is that unless your site is well optimized and is doing well in the search engines to begin with, which for the most part a brand new site isn't, then to optimize your video content makes it more difficult. So what I would recommend, I guess, to somebody that really wanted to focus on a video play, a niche video play, is to really leverage YouTube. I mean, there you can create a YouTube channel, tie that to your Facebook account, you know, get a lot of subscribers and viewers that are interested specifically in that type of video content on YouTube. And then you've got, you know, it does reside on YouTube.com. It's still a personalized channel that you created. And from that, of course, you know, if you start to get some traction there, you can then create a microsite or a blog related to that and start migrating more of your content over to there.
All right. Awesome. I'm actually been resisting the urge to like geek out. I do have, some background in search engine optimization, mostly because of my having to do so for my clients and needing an understanding of it. So I'm trying to stay away from really, you know, getting too geeky here. So I think I'll cut my questions.
Okay.
Off,
I have a couple more here. So Mark, I noticed that a lot of the articles are written by you, and when you were describing your day, you didn't really talk about your personal writing other than emails and comments and stuff like that. How much time a week are you spending writing articles now?
You know, probably not more than say 4 hours, to be perfectly honest. Now, that being said, I actually wish I would write more, and that's why, coming back to the earlier conversation, I probably do need to delegate some more of the duties that I'm doing. But, you know, I've probably got about 15 posts sitting in draft where they're sort of reminders to me that I need to write these things. So I'm not writing as much as I probably should, but I do spend about, I don't know, 4 to 5 hours a week writing 1 to 2 posts for the website. And then the majority of the rest of the time is in assigning topics, researching topics, and then editing those once they come back.
What plugins are you using on your website? Because you're a WordPress user. A lot of our audience are WordPress users. What plugins? You mentioned one so far. I'm curious what other plugins you use and recommend.
Yeah. So, you know, one of the things, one of the other mistakes I made early on was using far too many plugins. And so I've narrowed that down, but I'll tell you, I still probably have far too many plugins. There's a few though that I couldn't live without. So I'll mention those. One of them is W3 Total Cache. And it's a great caching plugin that not only caches database queries. Here I am getting all geeky, but it also increases the speed of your website through multiple different things, and that's important because the search engines now consider that a factor. You know, how fast is your page load? So W3 Total Cache is one I highly recommend. Another one, and it's actually fairly new, but I've tested it and it's great, is through a fellow by the name of Yoast Devok. He has a website. Why is in what is Y? Yellow.
Yellow. Yeah.
like toast with a Y. And he's a great WordPress developer, but he just released a new plugin called WordPress SEO. And it basically takes the place of about 6 or 7 other plugins, like all-in-one SEO and XML sitemaps, et cetera. I'm trying to think if there's any other ones that I absolutely have to have. Well, let me use this as a platform to mention more detail about that product really quick, and I won't make this a sales pitch, but I'm working directly with Yoast such that we're going to release a plugin specifically for video to publish video and optimize video, and that'll probably be ready in about 3 weeks, which will be pretty exciting for me. But in terms to directly,
wow, that's huge! Congratulations, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. You're going to be able to pretty much publish almost every type of video you can think of on your website and have it automatically create a sitemap and be optimized, et cetera. But, you know, I guess going back to your original question, W3 Total Cache, WordPress SEO, and I do use Discus at this point, although I'm thinking about moving beyond that.
Yeah, we were using Discus on Foolish Adventure, and we haven't taken the time to actually put in a custom CSS for it. And I like it in that it aggregates the commenters' comments from other sites into a profile. I find that very useful when I'm doing research. So if I find a commenter who's got some really interesting things to say, I'll go in and see what they're saying elsewhere. And I've found that useful, but it is kind of cumbersome.
Yeah, and the biggest problem that I experience with it is it does place additional JavaScript and CSS on your site, which can affect the page load time. So, but for the most part, to your point, I mean, it's a great plugin, and it allows people to log in with Facebook or Twitter or Google, and they can easily comment and subscribe. So at this point, because I don't have the time to build something, I'm using that as well.
Okay, so I just have a couple more questions here, Mark. What tips do you have? Keeping in mind that our audience, we have people that are new to online business. They've never done anything online business before. And then we have other people that have online businesses but are looking to optimize. What are some tips that you would tell these folks based on what you've learned? What are high priority things to focus on or do, tips that you have?
Yeah, so, you know, I'll try and be as specific as I can, but you know, the best thing that I ever did was to write about something I really am interested in myself. So absolutely don't just pick, you know, high impact aerobic exercise because you think a lot of people are interested in that information, but you don't really care about high impact aerobic exercise. You know, find something that you're interested in. I think that's fairly obvious, but it actually shows and it works. The other thing is be active online. I mean, again, I was pleasantly surprised early on how friendly people are that have other blogs, that have other resources that are related to you. I mean, when I reached out to Israel, I could have easily gotten a note back saying, hey, dude, I'm so busy and I'm so cool that I don't have time for you. But I didn't, and I never do. I usually get a warm response. And for the most part, you know, it's typically helpful because I can learn things from these people. But then I also, in some ways, gather their support. So, you know, be active online, reach out to people that are interested in the same things you're interested in. I definitely, you know, to get a little bit more specific, I definitely recommend WordPress as a platform. It's simple to use. It's very extensible. There's multiple plugins out there. There's a lot you can do with it once you learn how to use it properly. And then, you know, again, this isn't very specific, but again, I know I've mentioned it a couple times, but really take the time. you know, and that's the other thing. If you're really interested in something and passionate about a given niche, you probably just naturally will take the time. If you were writing about high impact aerobic exercise and you had no care in the world about it, you may not take the time to actually write an appropriate title and have appropriate categories, et cetera. But, you know, so be passionate. Don't be lazy when you're writing your if you're a blog, for example, when you're writing posts, you know, write a title that makes sense and is captivating. Let me try and think it. You know, beyond that, definitely leverage social media. You know, don't be afraid of Twitter and Facebook. I find that Facebook is better in terms of getting really engaged users, but Twitter is still a good way to gather new readers from people that are, you know, kind of endorsing you online. So, you know, definitely be involved with social media as well.
I noticed that on your posts, you use Twitter on every single post, and it says, is this the retweet plugin or whatever it's called? The tweet meme? Is that what it is? Or,
you know, I used to use that. This actually is a iframe code directly from Twitter, and it's nice because rather than loading another JavaScript, it's just iframed. So it loads a little faster, but yeah, that's essentially what it is it's a Twitter counter.
And I noticed like in one of the recent posts, it says the title is why Viddler is bad for website video SEO. And then it's been retweeted 101 times.
Yeah. I was surprised because I put that up this morning and, you know, I think on average we get 30 to 40 retweets depending on the topic. And this one kind of took off this morning. Obviously,
what a great title. I mean, I feel like after we're done with this, I have to read that post.
Well, I'm believe it or not, I'm surprised I haven't gotten a note from the CEO of Viddler, because typically titles like that upset them. But I think the post, you know, I try and be really, yeah, that's one other thing, by the way. Be objective and passionate about things. If you're reviewing a product in your industry, you know, if there's a problem with it, tell people there's a problem with it. Don't be afraid and don't sugarcoat things, because people really do appreciate that objective approach. And so, you know, in that post, granted, the title is kind of catchy and was designed for that purpose. But, you know, in the post, I'm objective about Viddler is bad for website SEO, but it's great for lots of other things. So
that's awesome. Well, I think this conversation has been very valuable, and I'm hoping that our audience really loves it as much as I did. And I do. So.
Me too.
Tim, anything else?
No, I just want to say thank you for being on, Mark.
Thank you. And, you know, hopefully all your readers will go out and enjoy their foolish adventure.
Thanks for listening to Foolish Adventure. If you found this information helpful and want more like it, please visit foolishadventure.com. Do you have specific questions you'd like us to answer? Leave a comment on the website. Who knows? Maybe we'll create a whole show to answer it. Also, we have a voicemail line where you can ask questions. The number is 480-331-4695.